So for you that are here, can everybody hear me okay? The mic's okay? Level's okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. So this is Intune session with Exchange and System Center. So it's definitely not anything other than that. So if you guys want another session, this is what this is. So briefly, we're going to talk about a couple things before we start. In 2007, the world changed. The devices were released, the iPhone particularly, was released in San Francisco. At the time, Nokia ruled the world. The top three devices at the time were Nokia devices. So I have brought a couple of stats up because I thought it was very interesting. Nokia 1200 sold 150 million units in 2007. It had 4 megs of RAM in it. It could hold a whopping 200 entries in its phone book. It had a 1.5-inch screen monochrome. In 2013, we have devices like iPads, iPhones, Surfaces, Kindles, thousands of different devices from $60 at your local drugstore all the way to $1,000 Surface Pro 2s. So we have all these different devices, and the world has completely changed in just a few years. So what we're going to talk about today is how we can secure those devices. Your data is no longer just in your data center. It's floating around on, like I said, iPads, Surfaces, Android devices, and in some cases, you know, that tablet that your grandmother picked up at Walmart for $55. So you have to really understand what's connecting your devices, what device you're connecting to your network, and what you can do to control what they have access to once you get there. So we're going to go ahead and start now. Managing securing devices using Exchange, System Center, and Intune. My name is Lawrence Novak, or L.A. Novak. I am a Microsoft Certified Master, as well as an MCSE and Private Cloud Messaging and Directory. I have a blog site if anyone wants to visit it. It's relatively new. We just put it up, geekswiththeblog.com. We also started up a podcast, Geeks, Bowties, and Tech, if anybody wants to listen to it. It is relatively new, but something we're trying out. And Twitter is L.A. Novak, and Geeks with the Blog as a Twitter handle.
Hi, I'm Michael Indens. I'm actually a System Center PFE, and I am not a socialite.
He says he loves Yammer, so Yammer at him a lot.
That's right.
Yam Janet. So let's go ahead and start. So we cut this into three sections. We wanted to make it so we can show you how we can take your existing infrastructure, your Exchange infrastructure, and how you can try to both secure it against devices you want to come into it, as well as what policies you can apply to the devices once it hits Exchange. We're only going to briefly touch on this, a couple of different commandlets. We know most of you are going to know this, so I'm just going to review for that part of it. It is a brief part of it. We're also going to talk about the Exchange connector with Configuration Manager. What does it do? What does it really give you back? Why do it? You know, what value is there to that? Again, that's going to talk about 5 or 10 minutes. It is a brief. So if you guys are like, well, I know all this stuff and take off, you're going to miss a lot. Really where the meat is Configuration Manager with Intune. We have a lot of live demos. We have a lot of devices that have been pre-configured. We also have a lot of devices that haven't been. So bear with us if there's any problems at all. But we are definitely going to do some live demos here. There's a lot of them, and I think that's the best way to learn this product. Okay. So first, Exchange. I use PowerShell all the time. Most people here probably are using PowerShell. So we're going to try to mostly just talk about PowerShell. So talk about a couple different commandlets here. The set active sync organizational settings, the new active sync device access rules, the set active sync device access rule, new active sync to mailbox policy, and the setcast mailbox. We're going to briefly run through these, show some examples of them. We're going to do a really brief demo of how to set quarantines on them in a second. So the set active sync organizational settings. I almost think it's the first layer of defense. So you want to know what gets into your environment. In a BYOD world especially, you don't want every device under the sun connecting. If you're an on-prem customer, if you're an on-prem person, your client access servers may crash. You may have all kinds of problems because if the implementation access sync isn't correct. We've all had those stories of this new update came out and all of a sudden my client access servers are crashing. We all have been there. So the set active sync organizational settings can kind of prevent what can and what can't is a global type entry. And we're going to show that in a second. So you can quarantine, you can block, or you can just allow everything globally. Okay, but what about that certain case where that phone came out with a new update and all of a sudden it's crashing things, or all the security bugs have been released. Set Active SIG organization settings, we can go ahead and say on certain things, sorry, new Active SIG device access rule, apologies. You can go in query strings, characteristics by device model, by different types of devices. So if that one device has caused you problems and you want to just get it rid of it, you want to quarantine, your manager's like, I really like this phone, I really like this device, I need it, I need it, I need it. And you can't do everybody, you can target it. So you say, now everyone can have it, but that special person can. Set Active Sync device access rule. Again, going back into that. Mobile device mailbox policies. So those couple commandlets we just breezed through, talking about how we can kind of quarantine the top. And there are all these things, all these commandlets are in your slide, so if you want to review them, it'd be great. So this is where you say, okay, I've allowed this device in. I've quarantined this device off. I've now accepted it. And we're going to demo that in a moment. But I don't want it to have cameras, or I don't want it to be able to do X. I don't want to be able to do Y. You'll be able to use a mobile device mailbox policy to do those things. But it's global at first. So everything you do in the default is going to apply to everybody. So you can also use another commandlet to actually take and change some things. So you create a new one, and then you can take and put all those different settings in to it, which there's a ton of them. Please use TechNet when you do these kind of things. And you can say how long you want your password to be, what if you want cameras to turn on, what cameras turned off. Now there's a caveat to this. What can and can't you do per device? That's a little tricky because not all devices take all the EAS settings. And I'm going to show you where you can get a list of what can and what can't be done. Once you create that new policy, you're able to take it and apply it to your manager set. So if you don't want your secretaries having that one device, or you want, you know, your admins to have access to certain feature sets, cameras or things like that, you can kind of quarantine those off and apply it to certain people with that, like Match Manager and the custom attributes. So what you can and can't do is a big question. It's a big slide. We couldn't fit it all on, or you'd all go blind. So I just put a link in there knowing the slide's going to be public. And that right there is a really good link. It goes over a lot of different phones, a lot of different OSs, and we'll show you a lot what it can do. But slides are boring, so let's do a quick demo. So we are using iPads, Surfaces, Windows phones. You know, we do pretty much everything here, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. So here I have an iPad that we've already pre-sunk just in the interest of time. And the message I got back from my environment, because it's globally set, is that I need permission to be able to add you. I can't just let anybody attach to me. It gives me control. As an admin, I like control. It's probably what I do, what I do. I like to be able to know what's in my environment, what's attached to my environment, regardless if it's 365 or not. It's not just about security of like my infrastructure or crashing my infrastructure. It's about, I don't know what that is, or hey, there's this release of a vulnerability. I don't want, you know, I don't want everything in my network. I want to know what's there. So you can go ahead and do this. I'm going to show you exactly how you can improve it. So this goes to your user, this message right here. And we're going to go ahead and open up. And me as an admin sitting at my desk and it gets an email. Oh, so-and-so got a new phone. They weren't approved to get a new phone, or I don't like that phone. Let's go take a look and see what this is. Let's see what happens here. So you can see a bunch of other things that are in here. So I can take a look at this phone, and I can see it's an iPad, the model number. It's not a phone, but if it was a phone, as you can see in the other devices we had in here, you see the cellular number. So if you say, hey, this isn't your work phone, I can see it's not the last four digits of your phone. I don't really want this in here, or maybe I'll give you a call. So you can go in here, and at the top, you can see it in the top here. See if it'll zoom when I zoom. You can see there's different options in here. And you can go ahead, and you can go ahead and add that. You can go ahead and deny that. Or you can go ahead and wipe it, which I like. So, or you can just throw it away. So, you have a lot of control. We're just going to go ahead and approve it, hopefully. Hopefully I didn't wipe my iPad, but we'll see in a second. Access granted. Let me hit save. In just a moment, it's going to come down. Or not. Yeah, that's actually the mailbox. It's the same one. It just happens to be the same mailbox I'm using. It should work. But in essence, that's what happens. It's the same mailbox. So it should come down. I don't know what's going on with it, but it should, technically I accepted it, and it should come down. It should in a couple minutes, but it's kind of how that works. So we're going to go ahead, and we're going to move forward on this. Switch it back, Mike. Clicker. Talk about the Exchange Connector. So how many people actually used the Exchange Connector before with System Center? Anybody here? Oh, great. So a lot of people know about it. Does. So the Exchange Connector, what it really is all it is the tunnel. Okay? It takes your existing ActiveSync protocols that you're using, and it takes it and lets the people who actually manage devices manage devices. I'm an Exchange administrator. I do System Center work, but a lot of people don't. And they're like, why am I managing this device? Why aren't the guys who manage the devices managing the devices? So this then takes and it allows you to have a single pane of glass, for lack of a better term, for your admins who are configuring your devices. And it's just a tunnel. It is not a client. Okay? You cannot install software with it. And I think that's in here. So settings you can control, it's the same settings you can with the EAS. There's no difference. The EAS settings are Exchange ActiveSync settings that you have available through Exchange, with the same exact settings you're going to have available to you with this Exchange Connector. It is not Intune. It doesn't have all those feature sets. Okay? The access allow block or quarantine, the remote wipe via configuration manager, or the options to control the ActiveSync. It's all the same things. There's not a lot there that there's more. Again, it's just a single pane of glass. Okay. You can uninstall software with the Exchange Connector. And we'll get into Intune and how you can do that. But it is, again, it's giving you any more capabilities, but it's taking away from the Exchange admins and putting in someone else's bucket. We just talked about that. Important to note, if you want to control your Exchange ActiveSync settings, you do not want to put it into a configuration manager. Because once you start clicking some of those buttons, the configuration manager will override whatever you start putting into Exchange. So it becomes the source of all information at that point. And we're going to show you that in a minute in a demo. Okay? An account is required for the Exchange Connector. It could be a computer or a user. And it's going to have certain rights, view-only management, server management, or something above that. So we're going to go ahead and I'm going to turn over to Michael, and we're going to show you what this Exchange Connector looks like. And we're getting the good stuff with Intune.
All right. Thanks, Larry. So in the interest of time, this is actually Config Manager. As you see here, we're going to do add Exchange Connector. In this case, we actually already have two set up pre-configured. I'll let you look at the properties here. And these two are actually are used in a hosted environment. You can do on-prem as well, so you can do either one, as well as you can have, the key thing is you can have a mixture of hosted and on-prem within your specifications. Side little note, the TechNet article that actually tells you which address to use for hosted is wrong, but there's a newer link. So you put the account in that's running the environment. And then this is part I like, so discovery options. So in this case, we actually have it set to ignore any devices that are outside of 180 days that are inactive. Of course, just bring it in. You can do 30 days, whatever kind of window you want. You can also control the synchronization intervals and then how often you actually sync for a full synchronization. The key, though, is actually right here. So as that one slide showed, we have the general settings, password, email management, security applications. These are still in coherence with the actual ActiveSync rules. Right now, as you note, they are actually all configured by the Exchange server. The moment I start changing or playing with these settings, any future changes have to be done with the Config Manager. It's not a bad thing, but again, it depends who is managing your devices. So just kind of give you a quick password, for example, standard ActiveSync rules. You can also do access rules as well. So it's pretty much your ActiveSync environment. Now, from a manageability aspect, let me go to mobile devices. This is actually pretty smart, too. So it actually identifies it with an actual ActiveSync icon. So quickly, from a person who manages devices, they can find out which ones are which very easily by looking at them. And if you notice, some of these also have a mobile icon. From here, though, I'll just go look at Larry's iPad. So I can actually then from here, again, allow or block, or I can actually retire or wipe that device. With the connector set up, there's also a log that correlates with that. For those who don't know System Center, we're very big on login everything, and we always do live feeds. So in this case, I could actually see if there's any issues going on when I actually do a sync with the hosted environment or the on-prem environment as well. But that's pretty much the active sync connection with SSCM. Got one here. All right, so Intune. So Intune is a cloud-based service. And I had to put this on here because when I first started playing with Intune, there was a lot of websites. And depending on which one you get into, it defines what you can and can't do. So for users, they use portal.manage, or as well as account if they want to change their passwords. For a subscription administrator, that's actually running the cloud service. That's account.manage.microsoft.com. And then manage.microsoft.com is the actual Intune interface. I will show you that today. Oddly enough, though, the way we have it set up, we actually don't do anything with an Intune. Intune is configured to be either a direct managed system or a integrated with SCCM. In this case, we're doing integration. There are some prereqs you have to have identified. One, obviously, an Intune account. You must have a verified public domain. You must use domain UPNs. If not, there's articles on how to configure that, but just about everybody should be using those. You need to have dirsync. SSO is optional, but dirsync will be required if you're going to be doing integration with SCCM and actually deploying software. You need to set up a DNS alias for a CNAME. Essentially, you'd be doing an enterpriseenrollment.manage.microsoft.com redirected from your own DNS entries. And then certificate keys. Now, the certificates, this is kind of where things get a little interesting. Starting from the bottom, Android's probably the easiest. You don't need any certs. So to actually enable some of the features for the integration with Intune or even SSCM integration, you actually have to deploy certs to these devices. iOS is actually, you have to have an APN. Within the actual console, though, we actually have a wizard to create our own APN, and then you get it back within 5 minutes through Apple. Windows devices and Windows phones, a little more complex, oddly enough. Windows devices, you want to do side loading keys, you have to do that. And for Windows Phone 8, you actually have to use a cosign cert from Symantec that has to be registered to a company developer account, not an individual. Luckily, though, there's a support tool for 30 days that allows you to do a trial run to actually deploy company portal apps and side-created apps as well. And you'll see that today. For the different devices supported, one of these is not mobile. We'll get to that in a minute. But for the most part, Windows Phone 8 devices, Windows 8.1 RT and 8, iOS and Android devices as well. If you notice, Windows 8.1 is on there. So yes, from a desktop perspective, without actually installing a client, you can do light managed through the workspace, which is kind of cool. So once the prereqs are done, there's quite a few of them, you then actually go and actually do the configuration for the connector. One's for the subscription, and then on-prem, we actually have a site system role that actually does all the communications to the cloud and back. Again, we love logs, so all these logs here are actually very critical to defining what's going on with your environment. And cloud user sync is kind of important too. This is your typical setup, nice little diagram we got here. The on-prem's there to the left. As you can see, standard servers, desktops, laptops, whatever it may be. And then we also have the Windows Intune integration, which covers your mobile environment. The integration is actually really nice because, like I said, it gives you everything into your actual purview now. And then you'll see how we can actually, some devices, you can do a retire, which just removes company data and doesn't actually wipe the device. Or some systems actually do a full-blown system wipe. So with that, I will go and demo the actual setup. And then once this is done, we actually get into the meat of it where we actually do management of the devices. Okay. Actually, before I do that, let me show you some of the websites. Because so this here is actually Windows Intune. So again, just by looking at it, you can see there's no data in here. There's no computers, no mobile devices, which technically there are because we already have some. Because we're actually doing an integration itself, it becomes a dead space, essentially. But this is what Windows Intune looks like. This is the actual subscription page. This is where you go and actually do your domains, do your directory syncs, configuration, and you can assign users and so forth to own this portion of it. This is where your licenses are and your purchases. From a user's perspective, and do this here. This is what a user would see. This is the actual portal page. And here they have their devices. Things were actually available to them. If they wanted to from here, they could actually go and wipe a device, which later on you will see that. So what that in itself to me is a nice feature because person loses their phone, you know, it's 2 a.m, they don't want to call up somebody, they can just go ahead and hop onto the internet and from their machine and wipe their device. Go back to the setup. All right. So here is, we create a subscription. Again, this is all pre-configured for time. Set up how you want to look like, your company name. You can put a logo in here as well. Like I said, Android, one checkbox, good to go. iOS, you have to actually do the certificate. And as I was saying, we decided that we'll make this easy. You can just do create APN request, generate a cert file, and it tells you where to upload it and get one back. Windows, in this case, I'm not doing any co-signing certificates because I don't have any developed apps. And then Windows Phone 8, in this case, there's the certificate on file from that support tool, and then the company portal that gets assigned to that. And again, you know, real friendly, company contact information, we like Space Ghost, coast to coast. You can put a support website in here for URL and how the user wants to see that. Excuse me. And of course, company logo. Let me cancel that. The site system itself belongs on-prem. And that's this Windows Intune connector down here. Some of the logs I was talking about, this is the actual cloud manager. This one's just pretty much the basic one. This here is one of our device MP downloaders. This one I watch often. And then this one should be the, this one's the actual setup. There is an error, but that's for .NET 2.0. So again, you can actually get a real feel of what's going on with the environment. So that is the actual connector setup. Nope. We're moving kind of quick so I can get to the good stuff here.
Yeah, we move it.
And ask questions. So this is part of my favorite part right here. So now we have all the stuff set up. All right, now you want to manage devices. So we have company applications. That gets back to the certs, so any kind of side-developed applications you want to push out. Deep linking, which is probably one of my favorites, and then we'll talk about user enrollment. Has anybody actually heard of deep linking by any chance? Sweet. Okay. This is really cool. So deep linking, this actually allows us to grab any app from a vendor store and actually suggest it to the user. So now, you know, instead of looking around for different things, so you'll see here we actually distributed Word to iPads. If you're on an Android device, you'll see like some Frog game. And if you're on a Windows device, you'll see some dictionary. But it's a nice way that, you know, you can say, hey, users, here's all the apps we suggest to you versus having them go find it. We could also do approval requests as well that they have to actually request approval. And that I will show. The user enrollment aspect of it, depending on which one you're on, changes. So for Windows, for iPads and Androids, or iOS, you actually have to download the company portal app. Just look for Windows Intune company portal app, you can find it. For Windows 8.1 and RT 8.1, it's actually under Workplace, which is the network settings and Workplace. And then for the old one, it's under Company Apps, and for Windows Phone, it's under Settings, Company Apps. Yes, that's my part I want to get to. So now I'm actually going to go through the process of a couple things. We're going to deploy Excel via the iOS store. to our device. I'm going to show you some existing apps. I'm going to show you some compliance settings. One thing I didn't put on the slides, this is part of the whole purpose of this, is to lock down devices. So iOS actually has more options for security-wise than some of our Windows phones. You'll find out why in coming slides. We're going to show you what it looks like from a user perspective. And I will give you some username and passwords. If you wanted to connect to our environment, you can. Of course, you know, disclaimer, anything happens, it's not our fault. But iOS is the only one that's really locked down. But at least it'll give you a chance to get a feel for what it, how this whole thing flows.
If you have an iOS device and you don't like 9-pin, 9-character pins, I don't suggest doing it.
Yep. And if you like your camera, don't do it either.
If you don't like your camera or FaceTime, I don't suggest you do it either. But, I mean, if you wanted to see it and you have a device, you're more than happy to do it. We'll give those out. And it will lock your device down. Just a word of note, it does take a little bit of time for it to actually apply. You'll actually see that. And then after the fact, when you remove the portal, it will restore the functionality. But again, it is not instant. It could take a little bit of time.
Okay, so I'm going to prep this here. Okay, so the first thing I'm going to do is create actually the Excel application. This is for an iOS device. Oh, I'm sorry, you can't see that. All right, so essentially I'm in the software application management of Config Manager. I'm gonna choose a iOS package from the App Store. And then all I do is I provide the link to iTunes. So in this case, it's the Excel link. I'll hit next, oops. Apparently I didn't copy that correctly. Okay. I'm so common for that. Thank you.
We did sacrifice 3 fake goats and a bunch of surfaces for the demo gods, but evidently it wasn't enough.
Yes. Good thing that should be easy to do. Is it going that high up? Yeah, I'll just do this. Yes.
This is why we went fast on everything else.
I'm just killing time. All right, so I'm going to keep this with the default settings. Not the fastest. There's an old joke about SMS and slow-moving software, so it kind of does its own thing. Yeah. So what I'm going to do while I'm setting this up, Larry's actually going to show what a current pre-configured box looks like. We'll come back to this part here. You want to run.
So going back to the iPad here, we already pushed Word out the same exact way he's just doing it there. As you can see, this is the portal app, and we're going to show you another device in a minute. How do you log into this? But I just wanted to log in to show you. And you can see it's the same color as we saw before with the configuration you did a little bit earlier, the initial configuration demo, as well as this Microsoft Word app that we actually pushed down earlier today. So if I click on that, and I have to expire, so you're going to see the portal regardless. We're going to enter that in. Don't care if you know my password because they're just fake. And of course, it didn't work. Awesome. Oh, this is actually a different thing. Hold on, let me switch this off. 1 second, guys.
Just finished, by the way, finally.
Switch back.
You good? Want me to go back?
I'm good. It's locked in. That password actually is not fake, so I didn't want to show that on the screen.
Oh, okay.
So that one is the like, same thing. I just clicked the button. It just brought me right back to this page. If I click launch, it will actually bring me to the App Store itself. So it's not pushing it down like you would normally see Configuration Manager software bubble pop up. It's actually sending you to the store. So if I go ahead and click on that, it's going to ask for my password, which, again, I don't really don't want to show you. But this one will actually go ahead and download this application at this point from the actual App Store itself.
Yep. All right, so I'm going back to here since this is done. And it's a good thing Larry said that he had to put his password in there, because actually that's from one of my settings. So I went ahead and completed the Excel app. So in a few minutes, when we actually add a new device, it should show up as a available software. But this here is the other part of the actual controlling or securing of a device. I already went ahead and set this all up. But some things on the iPad, we request a password. We do a minimum password length of 9. Which you actually notice, too, that the standard password box changes. So instead of having the 4 stars, it actually looks longer. We shut down the camera. No multiplayer gaming. I don't allow diagnostic data. I do allow the App Store to work. In-app purchases require a password. And I've also actually set content. So maybe you have other purposes, you know, kids or rules. So all the explicit material is removed. The set bear is set to 9 and below, and some PG ratings on movies. So you can control all this stuff and more from these settings here. And I actually forced remediation as well. I could report back if their machines are out of compliance, but I went and made it actually lock the settings down. Ready to go back? Okay.
Okay, should see it now? Okay, so anybody that's used these in school environments or even at work, you're going to see what you're going to see actually on the iPad itself or a lot of these devices, but the iPad specifically, is restrictions. When you see the restrictions there, you notice that it's not enabled, but everything's grayed out. So, for example, the camera is disabled. FaceTime is disabled. He actually disabled it, but if I disable the camera, FaceTime is disabled because he can't use the camera. And he has in-app purchases also turned off. And you also say right there what could be music and podcasts are clean, movies is PG, TV shows is Y7, apps is 9+, requires password immediately, all the different things that he just did. What it's doing, in essence, is turning everything off, really. And it's pretty amazing. It's when you have this in your desk and he pushes that policy down and I enroll, which we'll do in a second, you'll watch it for about 5-10 minutes and all of a sudden your camera disappears and all these settings just start popping up. So it's a pretty cool feature.
All right, so I'm going to switch back to me, and now I'm actually going to wipe a device. Hopefully today it's as fast as it was earlier, which was about 2 minutes. So again, this is the user interface. I could do this from Config Man, but I want to kind of go back to the user's perspective. So they get a whole list of other devices they have. So in this case, I have my phone and the demo phone, and apparently my wife's iPad. But so if I click this one here, I'm going to say factory reset. And then hopefully I can switch back fast enough. 2, 3. And this is the phone that hopefully within a couple minutes will actually kick off a rebuild. If it doesn't, I'll go ahead and back to the other presentation. And when it comes back, you'll know because it'll have the little gears turning on it.
So one of the things I wanted to point out in all these like little demos and little pieces is that nowhere other than just to kind of show you the login portion of it, have you logged into Intune? We showed you System Center, we showed you Configuration Manager, we've showed you a portal site for your users, but nothing from a manageability standpoint has been exposed to me for a cloud perspective, right? You're not logging into some portal site somewhere to manage your devices. You're managing it through your System Center on-prem through a tunnel to your device, right? It's very similar to how Bez works, in essence. So your manageability is really change, and I think sometimes it gets lost with Intune that people think it's a cloud service. Go ahead.
What sort of connectivity does the SCCM client or a console need to the internet? How is that published?
It should just be standard of the 443. 80443. Well, I mean, the SCCM console itself, so that's what the site connector is for. So on-prem, it actually does all that handling back and forth. So there's actually no users doing it or any kind of involvement. But once the connector is set up with the writes that are required based on a subscription, it just does it on the background. There's technically both. So we have a download file and an upload file, depending on what's going on. So we'll send stuff up and we'll pull stuff down.
So,
well, just like we did with the portal sites, and you're going to do a user enrollment in a minute, the device eventually appears in Configuration Manager. So from the device itself, once you enroll.
Yeah, the communication between SCCM, I'm assuming, is just initiated from the SCCM server out?
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, and then same thing with the cloud user piece of it. The cloud user sync is all being done between the two pieces. Yeah, all the client devices themselves will never come on-prem. That's kind of the beauty. You don't have to start opening up all these additional firewall rules and ports and weird DMZ stuff. Everything, they all talk to Intune, and then the connector and Intune just do a, yep. All, yes. Yep. And that has not done anything yet. So we'll kind of come back to that in a minute, and hopefully things will work.
It literally did it in 15 seconds in the demo rooms, but now it's going to take as long as it wants.
But it will wipe itself, which is pretty cool. So I'm going to kind of, is anybody actually interested in trying to connect your devices? Because if not, I'll just push forward and then go to the user enrollment. All right, so you're going to do your piece with the? Okay. So I'm going to switch back to Larry's machine. He's going to actually show you, from the user's perspective, what does it look like when you're not connected the first time. Each device has a little different flair to it. The iOS has quite a few more questions that it asks you. They try to be more secure and make sure you want to do this. The Windows phone, essentially, it's a one thing you do. Have never done an Android device before. Somebody's done it for us, but.
Yeah, we did a this demo.
Demo in DC, and the user had an Android and did it. And it was no issues at all. So this is the normal. We use iOS because it's easy to go walk back and forth with them. But we went to the App Store and downloaded a portal for an essence of time. And if you look for it, there's a company portal. And this device has not been configured. It's a totally different iPad than before. So if this is a device was provisioned to your customer or, for example, was given out as they went and bought it at the store and they wanted to manage it and you allow that to happen, they can do this on their own once they have the directions, of course. Me and passwords today.
Can that screen be branded besides Intune?
So which one are you actually looking at?
This brand
that particular one, no. So that came from the company portal through the App Store for iOS devices. The one that's actually belongs to us or the Windows Phone devices is a little more custom.
Right. So this is a company portal that you can brand once you log in. Okay. As you can see in the top right corner, there's a little flag. Every device is different with the portals and how they work. Windows Phone has it built in. It's just something you add. Apple devices, a little bit different. So we have a little flag. Okay. And we're going to go ahead and click Add this device. And we're going to click Add. And it's going to bring me around. And it's going to actually install that profile. And it's going to ask for my PIN. And that's it. I'm enrolled in Intune. When that comes back up, I'll just sign back in. But in essence, that's it. We have successfully enrolled in Intune. Within a few minutes, my device will be managed, and it's going to show up in the System Center console.
You want to log back? Can you log in?
I'm going to log right back in right now.
I don't know if you happen to notice, but Excel showed up. So you can see, again, we suggested, here's a store, App Store, and Excel is now part of that profile. You can also push your own self-developed iTunes apps or Windows apps, obviously based on a platform. But
is there a way, instead of just suggesting, is there a way to actually force the app manager?
There's not based on the fact that, again, because of the rules, users have to accept the agreements because of the tracking stuff and privacy settings. Other than that, then no.
So there was a big debate, and this was internal. when I some sessions I went to. And one of the big things with BYOD was Microsoft, from people I've talked to, wasn't really keen on forcing people to do things on BYOD devices. So if I force things on your device and it's a company that's not really theirs, the BYOD, there's legality things, I guess. So they didn't do it that way. So they just give you the options to install as you go. So you can see Excel is here. I'm going to go ahead and do that and click launch. And it'll bring up Excel. And it's ready on this device because I've installed it previously. And there you go.
Okay. I'm going to go back to still not doing this thing, but eventually it will. So some other things we didn't show as well was what you can see from Config Manager. So I'm going to go to, I'll take this one here. From this perspective, I can grab what the device is. So I know it's an Apple, it's iPad 2 based on the model. Again, maybe you have restrictions. Maybe somebody should have an iPad 1 or whatever's in place. I can tell that's 7.1. So I actually upgraded this morning. It was 7.0 something. So again, you can actually make sure, you can actually run reports on these values and say, hey, you have the wrong version of iOS. There's a fix that's required. And you can actually then send emails out to people and whatever it may be. And just like before, I can go from here and say, in this case, retire wipe. So again, so this one I can actually do both. I can either wipe the company data, or I can actually reset the whole entire device back to its normal state. There are actually, so there are some add-ons, which we didn't get into, where you start getting into user data and profiles. You can push certs. You can do, for example, I'll just kind of show you where it's at. User company resource access. So this gets more into the whole workplace Roman aspect and flexible work lifestyle, work style. But, so you could actually set up email profiles. I believe this is where you do, yes, you can do certs in here, identification certs. And then you could actually do based on, so it depends, a lot of it depends on the device.
Right.
So Windows devices allow for actual wireless. You can do control on that based on what they can or can't connect to. You can create search for that. So like here we have the certificate profiles, which I don't have any. VPN profiles and Wi-Fi profiles.
And in a couple seconds here, we're going to actually talk about that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's
device dependent, device. Though. Yeah. It depends, OS, really OS dependent, honestly, more than device.
Yep. And that's pretty much the demo piece for that.
So we talked a little bit about some demo stuff, and we're going to leave a little bit of time for questions because we know usually there's a lot of questions at the end of these sessions. So a couple things that always burned in my mind was at the end of these sessions and when we talked to people. So cool, I can do all these really neat things, but what can my device do? We talked about the Wikipedia article, what they can do. And today, the story is, okay, right? Windows 8 devices, Windows 8 phone today can do certain things, can't do other things. Apple can do a lot more right now, honestly. But that's all going to change. And Windows Phone Enterprise Feature Pack, which should be released hopefully in the next few weeks, at least the developers, they're going to include a lot more feature sets. They're going to take that Windows 8 mentality, Phone 8 mentality of for users, and really put a real nice Enterprise Feature Pack on it that's going to allow to do auto-triggered VPN, then allow you to do EAP TLS, allow you to do more MDM policies than before, and be able to control a lot of the more of these devices. A lot of people like the Windows Phone 8. A lot of people say, hey, the wild west of Android, some people don't like that, a lot of corporations don't like that. Some people say, the iPad's not for organizations, we don't like how they control the updates and the way they control them. We really like Windows Phone 8, but we can't do everything we want to do. The Windows Phone Enterprise Feature Pack that they're hopefully going to announce here shortly should fix a lot of that. S-Mind Descend and Encrypt, Enterprise Wi-Fi support. Again, this is a big one for a lot of government agencies. Certificate management to enroll, so if you have your own certs, you're able to be able to have an enrollment center instead of having to email it to yourself and do all those things. So it's going to solve a lot of problems, I think, that was one that people felt with Windows Phone 8 and really give them a solid platform. Samsung Knox and Intune. So Microsoft and Samsung had made an announcement on February 28th. We were going to be partnering with Samsung to develop more integration between Intune and Nox. So they're going to have even more settings to be able to lock down that data, separate your user data from your business data, and be even control even more. So not only are they working on Windows platform with Intune, but with Android and the Samsung specifically, they're really going to try to lock that down, and we're going to have a really nice experience for Android users. Okay. And then we have one more thing to talk about.
So,
so last Friday, if I heard, there's a new mobility suite that was released, which is the EMS, Enterprise Mobility Suite. And I kind of want to kind of bring it up a little bit because it actually brings in Intune. So again, this particular piece that would be more focused around full-blown mobile device management, provides you with the identity management from the Azure AD, the mobile device management from Windows Intune, and then, of course, RMS. If you're going to start playing with Intune, I highly suggest it. It's kind of fun. Again, you get a 30-day trial. You get some tools to play with it. I'd probably go this route here to actually kind of try both of them. It still does the same integration with SCCM. So just because you went to the EMS suite doesn't negate anything else from the integration with Config Manager. But this is definitely something really worth checking out that came out last Friday. Outside of that, I'm actually kind of surprised. We actually ended up finishing early, so we can take some more questions. We'll also be downstairs after this. Actually, over here. So the question was, from a company data perspective or device wiping, can you wipe just company data or the device? It kind of depends on the device. So in the case of that Windows phone, which has not kicked off yet, that's just a full-blown wipe, factory reset. iPads is company data. And I believe the RT was company data and a wipe as well. So again, it kind of depends on the device. Yes. You can, yeah. If you have factory reset as well as company data.
If the device supports it, that's the key. Or even more than the device, I can't stress this enough, if the OS supports it. Because you can have one OS that does and one OS that doesn't. For example, Enterprise Future Pack. If you install Enterprise Future Pack, or Windows 8.1 Blue, I believe it was going to have it built in, that will work. But if you have Windows Phone 8 device on the same exact device next to it, it won't. So it's really OS specific more than it is device specific. And that's just the APIs they expose. It's just the business we're in.
Essentially, anything that's linked to that company portal itself, once integrated, it kind of ties into that. So any apps you had, let's say you had custom apps, sometimes they will keep data behind. But if it's just like the standard store apps, there's not much. But later on, stuff we didn't really get into, when you start doing like your workplace flexibility piece, we actually have you know, folders. So you can actually have company folders on that box itself. That's where a lot of that really plays into. But we really didn't focus on that portion of it.
That's a whole other session.
Yes.
It's just different. We didn't really cover it in this one.
Back there?
Yeah.
Sort of along the same lines as the select wipe, are you going to have secure containers other than Nox? Do you have any plans for that?
At my product group, I'm a PFE, so I'm in the field. I know as much as you do. Everything I'm hearing, I wish I could get slides for this Enterprise Feature Pack, because I would love to have demoed a lot more with it. And I apologize, I couldn't. I've asked, and I was told I can talk about it, but I can't show slides on it. So, internally even, it's kind of, we're talking to our customers about it, and we're talking about all those things, and they've kind of gone into that. But what's the nuts and bolts of it, I haven't seen it, or even if I did, I couldn't put it on the screen. Yeah. I wish I could, but I would look at Build, because I think that's when they're going to announce a lot of that.
No, so you're talking about actually policies with Apple itself, if they made changes? Or you're talking about the actual? Depending on what the rule set is at that point in time, you may have to generate a new cert.
Yeah. If you look and see in the profile, you may have to re-enroll it because of the way it's set up. But Intune itself already has all that managed availability. You got to separate them out. Intune has way more options than the devices have. So I can apply a bunch of things to the devices the APIs don't expose. So if I apply that now, it should take, if you update the OS and they totally change something, you may have to re-roll. I don't know. I never tried it. Yeah. Yes. That's actually not supported. That's why we why. I mean, that's probably what's physical hardware. I know that wasn't actually. That's actually something I actually looked up. Was that could you mess with that and turn it on or off and it won't let you?
Yeah.
It's not supported.
It is in the list. I haven't actually seen it work yet, but it is in the list. So yes, when new versions come out, the actual product group will update Intune to correlate to that. How fast that happens, it's hard to say. But yeah, I mean, obviously, if policies change, we'll have to do adjustments based on what we have in place.
Do you have to do anything to SCCM, or do those policies just come down?
They mainly just come down from Intune. However, there are some times we have extensions, which I didn't show. So we actually turned on extensions for some iOS settings, for iOS 7 specifically. So they actually show up under the actual, in the console says extensions, you can still enable them. But yeah, everything comes down, all the options that are set there come down from Intune.
When we did the demo, you saw the profile load up, a lot of that information is contained in there, about the certs and stuff like that. So we actually had a problem with certs earlier, where it was acting goofy, had to redo the certs. So it's not a big deal to do, though.
The other thing, too, which I didn't show, as you go and build the compliance settings themselves, do you actually have options to pick supported OSs? So if, let's say you highlighted all of them. When it gets to the end, it'll actually say, these are the ones that can't work and which ones you could pull a report on that. Unfortunately, it's not intuitive where it says, hey, if you're only doing this ahead of time, it'll only provide these. But I mean, you can do one by one. But otherwise, yeah, you'll get a list of things that aren't supported if you just go and select them all. Over here.
So how do I prevent devices from going directly
to Exchange Accuracy? Well, that's kind of what we first talked about. I don't know if you're here. Talking about using the Exchange itself to set those quarantine access or block access, depending on how you want to do it. You kind of have to use Exchange to leverage that portion of it. What's interesting about this demo, I don't know if you guys noticed, our mail system's coming from 365 in a completely different domain than our Intune settings are coming from. So from an Exchange perspective, I can say, I want to block that access, but I have to do it at the front end, right? I have to do it at the Exchange layer. Once it's in the system, I then have to be able to control after that how I can do that, and that's really the Intune piece of it and how you're doing it at MDM. But once it's in your environment, that's why it's so important to understand what's coming in, using quarantining or blocking or using the selective access, per se. These devices are allowed in to really control that.
And Configman does have rules in the connector to actually block as well. So that one tab where it says access rules, you can define it ahead of time so nothing can get in.
It's still the ABQ, though. It's still very similar.
To be honest, I'm not very familiar with the third-party products. I'll be upfront.
I can tell you one thing, and it's across the board. Some of those products like that, they all have the same exact problem. Intune, Intune's not Intune's problem, but the same problem. Intune has more policies than phones have APIs exposed today. So I could have a million policies in Mass, or whatever, it doesn't matter, whatever MDM I'm using, I could have a million policies, but if the phone only supports three, I can only apply three. So I think there's a level that the MDMs are way ahead of the APIs, and I think like what Microsoft is doing with Android, what they're doing with Windows Phone, and I'm sure what Apple's doing too behind the scenes, is they're trying to build up these APIs for this business perspective, because it was so focused in 2007 when it switched out. I mean, we all saw it. It was went from these 1.5-inch screens, and anybody that was in business had this BlackBerry, and it worked great. And you had these MDM solutions that was built for the product, built for that handheld, and you can do so much with it. And all of a sudden, BlackBerry came out of style, and everybody's carrying around everything but a BlackBerry. And now all of a sudden, they were like, I want my music, and I want my videos, and I want this. And all these vendors are saying, we need all these cool features, or our phone was going to buy our phones, because look at what happened to BlackBerry. But now, it's coming back around where enterprise is like, I don't care about video anymore. I still can't turn off this camera on this. Why can't I turn off a camera in Windows 6.1 or whatever it was, and I can't turn off Windows 8? And it's a legitimate gripe. It truly is a legitimate gripe. And I think they're going after that now. But I think the MDMs are way ahead of it.
The other thing, too, which we didn't show, if the policy doesn't exist, so in Config Manager ourselves, we actually can create our own policies, our own settings. So as long as you can know what the exposure is via the API, you can create your own additional settings. So if Microsoft didn't release it, or if it's not in Intune, or there was no extension provided for that, you can just do your own as long as you know what's exposed via the OS. Yes.
And now we have to have an Intune license as well for device. Is that how it
Yeah, so Intune is a paid for subscription, just like Office 365 per user, per seat. To be honest, I can't get into license. What I would suggest is go to the pages and then take a look. Obviously, there's all the different rules on if you have EA or that kind of stuff. So
I think that's going to change with this, with the new stuff with EMS.
It's
all changing right now.
Yeah, I was just looking at EMS because they actually have a bundle that actually makes it cheaper. So.
Does anybody have a question? We're ignoring you side, this side of the room. Anybody over here have a question? No? Okay.
I had one back here. No, so Intune has an option to be standalone. The drawback is you can't then do like, you know, if you want to do, I don't know why you would, but you can't do like servers or actual desktops. Like you can't do Mac OSs. The config manager handles that piece. But no, Intune, that's why I was saying in this particular environment, we're not using direct manage. So that's why the Intune interface itself is pretty much a wash. But if you're doing just Intune and nothing else on-prem, it has all the same features.
Once you go one way or another, you have to stay that way.
Yeah, I got burned by that already. But yeah, so it's a one-time deal. You can't go back.
So if you go, I want to go on-prem, and you set it all up and you're as an on-prem, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, you know what? We don't want to use System Center anymore. Admins don't want to deal with it. We're going to do it in the cloud. Oh, you got to reset it up. There's no like undo, at least today.
I have to go back and see what the actual settings are. Because I said in Windows 8.1 is very light managed without a client. I have to go back and look and see. I know like Intune, the policies with Intune itself, and I might have to look because we set up all the mobile policies. So there might be actual compliance standards on a Windows version versus mobile. But Intune, if you're doing direct management, has a whole different set of policies or more visible. So they actually have like, you will have endpoint protection, you will have these different devices on there. So there may be exposed that I didn't focus on that because I was just focused on the mobile piece. But you just have to go and look. Yeah. Yeah, the 8.1 feature came out with R2 of Config Man and the latest version of Intune. So any other questions? Over here?
Well, so that was part of Exchange. We're kind of interested. We saw the same demo. So we're kind of wondering the same thing. Like, they almost seem like they're working in concert with it. So it's almost like another option. So I can, what's interesting is I can now remote wipe my phone or select it. Well, they didn't have selective wipe there either. But I can remote wipe my phone for sure, like five different places. I can do it through my vendor, usually. I can do it through System Center. I can do it through a portal. And that's just another option, per se. One that's available, I don't know. It's a totally different group. But that being said, I think it's another option, you know, and I don't know what it's going to be. It's a blanket, I don't know. But in my opinion, with everything that we've been saying with Microsoft and what all the announcements being made recently, the way it's going is Intune. I mean, that's the only thing I wanted to mention, too. I'm sorry I didn't mention this earlier. A lot of these new policies that are coming down with 8.1 and anything new, don't expect them to show up in ActiveSync. That's what I've been told. They're going to show up in Intune. If you want that new cool little gadget, it's not going to be an ActiveSync. It's going to be an Intune. They're not going to be something new. That's what I've been told. What actually occurs, who knows? But that's what I've been told.
Okay. Well, thank you all for coming out. We actually did end up early. So.
If you guys just want to bang our heads for a little bit, we're more happy to talk to you about it.
And really, I really encourage you to get the 3-day trial. It's really fun to play with, see what it can do and can't do. So that's it. Thank you.